everyone, and welcome to the Royals Rundown with myself, Jake Milham, and I got two other guys on the other side of the horn. First off, let's hear from Jeremy Greco. Jeremy, how you doing, man?
I did not. Was I supposed to bring the horn? I
did. Yes, you were.
Oops.
Bullhorn, at least. Greg, did you bring your foghorn, at least?
Definitely not prepared with that, no.
No, okay. But,
yeah. I need some more advance notice for that. Come on.
Okay, yeah, I'm a pretty bad guy at prep. Y'all know that.
That's the opposite of true, but sure, we'll go with that.
We're usually like just chatting away about topics, like, hey, what are we going to talk about next? We've been going for an hour. Should we stop? Oh man! Listen, if y'all want your Royals analysis and news a little bit more succinctly, you could always go check out RoyalsReview.com. A lot of good written news, analysis, and updates on everything Kansas City Royals. And also, so me personally, I just wanted to, if any of you out there listening get the itch to write about the Kansas City Royals, go check out the fan posts, because I can only speak for myself. I know that's where I got started writing and creating Kansas City sports content, was the Arrowhead Pride fan post. Jeremy, I think you got your start there too, right?
The Royals Review fan posts.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Dare write about football.
Yeah. I think you know plenty about football. Right?
Maybe. Not enough to write about it in front of that crowd.
Fair enough. All right, guys. Well, hey, let's go ahead and roll right into it. So, surprisingly, we've had a couple of really good pitching starts on the road at Busch Stadium against the St. Louis Cardinals. Zach Greinke, he threw together another great start and did not get enough run support again. But first, before we talk about Zach, let's go ahead and talk about the real surprise guy, Mike Myers, the 31-year-old veteran. Not really on a whole lot of Royals fans' radar entering the 2023 season. However, this is his third game for the Royals, still maintaining a 1.35 ERA, only 13 innings pitched, but 14 strikeouts. That's a pretty good number, if you ask me. And he is really embracing this role as the bulk man. So, Jeremy, you brought up Mike and what you wanted to talk about with him. But before we get into that, I do have to ask, Greg, what is your favorite Mike Myers movie? Not the pitcher, but the actor.
The obvious answer is Shrek. I mean, that's the first one that comes to mind. Either that or Shrek 2. After that, Austin Powers, which I don't know if I could necessarily pick a best one of those, but it's up there too. I guess a really niche role that I could think of it was in Inglourious Basterds, and he got very little screen time, but he was in there, so I guess that could count too.
It could. Listen, our guy Jeremy over here will be speaking second best Italian. Jeremy, what do you think? What's your favorite Mike Myers movie?
I was thinking Shrek, maybe Shrek 2. I would definitely pick Shrek 2 over Shrek, but another one that I think is kind of obvious, but we got to mention at least, is Wayne's World.
That's
is
true.
Is a terrific movie. Yeah.
So
one of those.
Listen, whenever he's in a role, it seems like that it's a really good role. It's always in a series. So like the Austin Powers, there are several Austin Powers movies. There's several Shrek movies. And even I think there's only two Wayne's World movies. I can't remember. There might've been a third, but if I did, I don't remember it. My favorite as a kid was one of his very worst roles. Okay. And it's I really loved the Dr. Seuss, the Cat in the Hat movie when I was a child. To go back and watch that as an adult, it is so painful. Like, I feel like I need to be on a substance. What'd you say?
Do we need to hold an intervention for you?
I am emphasizing it was my favorite as a child, okay? It's not my favorite anymore. I'm weird, but I'm not quite that weird, guys. All right. I would be called weird if ahead of the 2023 season I said that Mike Myers, the pitcher, was going to be one of the best guys in the Royals bullpen, though. So, Jeremy, floor is yours. What do you got about Mike Myers?
So, I just wanted to point out that he is an example of kind of what I've been talking about when I say I hate the Jordan Lyles signing, because he's a guy that, frankly, I'd never heard of. before he showed up in Royal Spring Training. And he's 31 years old, so he's a little older than the guys I would have liked to have seen. But I've been begging for the Royals to, instead of bullpen games, instead of Jordan Lyles every fifth day, instead of Brad Keller every fifth day, go out and sign some random free agents and throw them at the wall and see who sticks. And Mike Myers, I he could bomb his next start and it'll be awful. But right now he's sticking. And that's kind of what you want to see, is just like, they're paying this guy. I'm pretty sure they're paying him league minimum. They're not paying him much more than that. Whereas they're paying millions and millions of dollars to Jordan Lyles to hurt the team. Yes, he's pitching innings, but he's pitching them so poorly that he makes the team worse by his very presence, hence the negative WAR. So I just want to, I complain about that, but I have to salute. Hey, you guys went out and got Mike Myers, and he was awful in spring training. So even to have a couple of good appearances from him shows that they've been doing some work and having some progress there. So tip my cap to the Royals for, doing what I wanted and having a little bit of success with it.
When you say just take some guys and throw them out there and see what happens, I mean, we're really going out on a limb here to throw out Mike Myers to start, because he was never a starter in the majors before this year. Like, he's been sporadically in the majors since 2016 and hasn't been a full-time starter in any of that time. And so the idea of picking him up on a minor league deal, starting him in AAA this year, where he wasn't even good in AAA this year, and then him coming up and pitching well in the majors in like a starter role, or even just a long relief role, I mean, that's just amazing. And I absolutely did not see that one coming at all. So if he can keep it going, then cool, because like, he's been effective before, at least in a full-time relief role. If he can somehow translate that into being effective as a starter at the age of 31, then I will be thoroughly impressed. But that would just be credit to the Royals pro scouting team and just kind of their minor league staff. They can actually take a guy like this and turn him into like a competent major league starter, even if it doesn't last that long.
That's true. That is true. I do want to point this out, though. So Myers has been getting a little lucky in his three games that he has appeared so far. His BABIP is lower than average at 273 right now. So it's some slight luck. But I mean, it's not like we're going to expect this guy to hold a 1.3 ERA for the entire season. All right. But, he's only gotten three games in Kansas City. He's already got 0.3 WAR. That's way more than plenty of the Kansas City pitchers right now. And he is fulfilling that bulk man role. I don't have a problem seeing him every fifth day pitch five innings. Okay. Like, that's all I want from him. I feel like Q sending out Josh Staumont to open was the correct move. And it worked against the Cardinals. You get those first three guys down, and then you get Myers to see, those top three guys only one more time before you pull them. But, he's going to have some rough outings eventually. That's just what pitching is. Jeremy, before we move on from Mike Myers, I do want to ask you. So Ryan Yarbrough, still on the 60-day IL. There's not really any pitching prospects that are knocking on the door of Kansas City right now, at least to enter the starting rotation. Do you think that we're going to see Mike Myers as a bulk man for the bulk of the remaining of season?
At least until they come up with another idea. I mean, there's just no reason to change right now. He's had nothing but success in I think it's two goes and then one regular relief appearance or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's just like, if it's working, don't fix it.
That's true. That's true. Greg, do you feel comfortable seeing Myers go out there every fifth day for five innings?
I don't see why not, just because I don't see any obviously better options. And so it's been working so far, so keep it going. And obviously we're still in super small sample size territory here, but
yeah,
it's good when somebody is suddenly improving if I can look and see like some obvious change they've made. And it looks like so far he's throwing a sinker. He's introduced a sinker he kind of did last year, but he's leaning on it a lot more and a lot less on his four-seamer this year. And hence, he's getting a lot more ground balls, not giving up so many homers. And so that's like a tangible change I can look at and be like, hey, okay, you've actually changed something to try to improve yourself. Let's see if it sticks.
Yeah, that is an excellent point. From what I'm seeing, he's the only healthy Royals starter that has a pretty good ground ball rate at 45%. So that'll play against MLB competition, and it'll especially play when the Royals have a good defensive infield, which they have featured lately. Bobby Witt Jr. has been making defensive progress at shortstop. Michael Garcia has been pretty dang smooth over there at the hot corner. But I do want to talk about Bobby Witt Jr.'s bat real fast, guys, because after a strong closeout to May, David Holtzman of the Kansas City Royals pointed out that Bobby is close to that 30-30 pace again, 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases, something that is not done very often at all in Major League Baseball. Greg, I do, just watching the Royals so far in 2023, do you think Bobby has any chance at all of hitting that 30-30 range? Let's just start there.
I absolutely think he has a chance. Yeah, if I were going to predict it, I would say no. Like, I think he's going to comfortably get to 30 stolen bases, but I feel like home runs is probably going to fall a little bit short. I see him like probably finishing like 27 or 28, which, don't get me wrong, that'd still be cool and all, but I don't think he's going to reach 30-30, but I could absolutely see myself being wrong because, I mean, you're right. Like, the pace is there right now and the weather is only going to get warmer.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Jeremy, what do you think, man?
I just can't see 30 home runs coming from him. The 30 stolen bases, like Greg said, that seems entirely reasonable. And, you know, he's doing a good job. I was worried that he was getting caught a lot. He was just taking a lot of opportunities. But he's only got 3 caught stealing on the year. So that's an 85% success rate. That works. You can win with that kind of stolen base success rate. The home runs, he just doesn't get enough hits in general for me to feel like 20 home runs is a foregone conclusion for the rest of the year. But you know, anything could happen. He could get real hot. He could finally figure something out, but I don't see it. 20-30 seems more likely to me.
Okay. I'll agree with that. I would agree with like 20-35. Okay, because sure. I agree with you, Greg. I think he's going to eclipse 30 stolen bases this year pretty easily. I would have to look at what rate he's at right now, but 16 stolen bases and June isn't even here yet. I think he's going to get past 30 pretty easily as long as he stays aggressive on the base paths. But these opposing pitchers are starting to figure out, you know, okay, Bobby's going to lay off the high fastball a little bit more through May. That was still very, very much a problem in April and in March. But now they're hitting him with different sequences and he's still having troubles still catching strikeouts. That first strikeout that he had against Miles Michaelis, I think is how you say his last name, on Tuesday against St. Louis Cardinals, that was very frustrating. That was a high leverage situation where the two guys got on base before him and it just felt like that inning deflated from there once Bobby picked up that first strikeout in the game. So I'm not super comfortable with him at the plate right now. You know, maybe he changes his approach in a month or so and gets a little bit of power, but I don't see him coming very close to 30 at all. Greg, I'm going to put you on this. Go ahead, Jeremy. Sorry.
One positive I just wanted to throw out there is that he does have, last year he had a weighted on base average of 311, which isn't bad, and an ex-WOBA of 313. So he was pretty much exactly as advertised last year. This year his WOBA has dropped to 297, which is not good, but his ex-WOBA is all the way up at 335. So, and his BABIP has dropped 40 points too, and while his ISO has gone up 30. So he might be having some bad luck. We could see a big second half surge from him, and it wouldn't be terribly shocking, I don't think.
What do you think, Gregor? Are we going to see some more in the second half from Bobby?
I wouldn't put it past him. Like, I might be being a little bit too pessimistic about what he's done to the dish so far, because like he's barreling up the ball pretty well. And generally speaking, guys that run a barrel rate like what Witt has right now are hitting pretty well. Like, most of the guys that are at where he is or above him on that leaderboard are having good offensive seasons. The approach obviously still leaves a lot to be desired because he still just swings way too much. Like, he just needs to leave the bat on his shoulder a lot more often. And also stop swinging at the first pitch, for God's sake. Like, he keeps doing that all the time. And it's a huge problem. But yeah, we might be selling him short because, as Jeremy mentioned, he is still underperforming a lot of the underlying data. There's really a lot to like about what he's been doing offensively. I mean, you combine that with what he's doing defensively this year on the bases, like, he could put up like a 4 or 5 WAR season this year. Like, I wouldn't put that past him.
Okay. That's a great point. Hey, coming up on the other side of this ad break, we are going to be talking about some of the All-Star voting that did just open up today. So we got to get our predictions in.
Hashtag vote Omar.
Yes, vote Omar is still very much going strong. He's still a write-in option, trust me. And we are back here on the Royals Rundown podcast. I got Jeremy Greco and Greg Walker with me. So, guys, I pulled up the All-Star voting this year, and it is very fresh in my brain where we still got almost all of the All-Star spots in that one game. I think it was 2014, was it, or was it 2015? I can't remember.
15.
Jeremy, do you know? It was 15? Okay. And like you said, Jeremy, should folks still be voting for Omar Infante out there?
I mean, Jeremy? Who else are you going to vote for?
I mean, Michael Massey, maybe. I don't know. Maybe a guy who's still playing baseball.
You can still write in Omar Infante.
Why not? I would love to see how many votes Omar Infante gets in 2023. You might get more votes than Michael Massey, honestly.
Here's voted for Elvis Andrews for second base.
Ooh, nice, nice. Jeremy, what you got?
I haven't looked at the ballot yet. Is Hunter Dozier on the ballot?
No, he's okay, not.
Good. I was really scared that he was going to be on the ballot.
That would be very awkward if he was. Extremely awkward. Greg, so when they put this up today, it was just the batters. It was just catcher through DH and all the fielding positions. If you had to pick a pitching representative for the Royals, who would it be?
I'm going to say, like, yes, it's only position players because you don't get to vote for pitchers. So,
right.
Shocker. I mean, Aroldis Chapman, probably. Like, I don't like that, but he's clearly the best candidate on the team right now. Granted, he might not still be on the roster come the All-Star game, and the Royals would still need a representative. So if that were the case, Mike Myers, if he continues doing that. Otherwise, I mean, Carlos Hernandez has been pretty good out of the bullpen, so I guess he might be the option. I know Scott Barlow had some rough outings earlier this year, but he's kind of right of the ship more recently.
That's true. That's true. I mean, hey, listen, if you had to go with another reliever, Jackson Kowar, man, he's been scoreless so far this year, right? He's got a whip below one. Nate Eaton
has a zero ERA.
Oh, that's right, Nate Eaton. I think that might be the guy. I think that might be the dude to pick.
If I'm voting for Royals pitcher, I think it's got to be Chris Bubich.
Oh my gosh!
Okay, you know he also can't attend the game and play, right?
That's okay. As long as he gets that he was so good. He would be amazing. He'd be a great All-Star representative. He could just show there and wave with his right hand and keep his left hand in the
sling.
Do you think he could throw right-handed?
That'd be pretty cool if he could. I don't know. Like, why wouldn't he learn in the downtime? He's got like a year. I mean, he's got the baseball itch.
I know this isn't a perfect comp, but a lot of professional golfers can golf with their offhand like better than I can with my dominant hand. Like I watch guys like Ricky Fowler golf left-handed and shoot like an 85. And I'm like, I can't even do that with my dominant hand. So I don't know if it's really a perfect comp, but like, I don't know. I think pitchers can throw with their offhands.
Sure, so what do you think?
Once upon a time, I watched the Korean drama Prison Playbook, which is about a Korean baseball pitcher who assaults a man who was going to assault his sister. And the judge decides to make an example of him and he sends him to prison for a year. And he's a left-handed closer in the universe of the show. And he gets stabbed in his left shoulder, gets shanked in the left shoulder while he's in prison. So he can't throw with his left shoulder anymore. So then he remembers that when he was a kid, he was actually right-handed and he was forced to throw left-handed in order to become a more viable pitching prospect. So he starts throwing right-handed, and when he gets out of prison, he successfully returns to the Korean leagues as a right-handed closer.
Bravo. What a story. What a story. Hashtag vote non-dominant hand.
So you're saying, yes, Chris Bubich could be an All-Star. Go out there, glove on the left hand, pitch right-handed.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
I'm in favor of it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't think the Royals would like that too much, though.
No, probably not. When that's their best. I mean, I don't know. I think it would be cool to get Zach Greinke for like the legacy spot to get one last All-Star nod, because it is so depressing to see this guy have a 1-5 record and his whip is like 1.14. Like he's doing really good stuff. Just he's not getting any run support in his starts. It is just comically comically bad.
We know Vincent's who's actually cranky, going to the All-Star game, right?
What'd you say, Jeremy?
We know who's actually going to the All-Star game for the Royals, right?
Yeah, it's got to be Salvador Perez, yeah, right?
Okay.
We say that's a shoo-in, but like Adley Rutschman exists now. So like it's not going to be that easy for Salvador to get that All-Star nod.
He might not be the starter, but he's going.
That's true. Here, I'm pulling up the
All-Star. The only other right player now I could even imagine going is Vinny Pasquantino, and I think there's probably too many other more established first basemen to battle with, and he's not going to have the home run numbers.
Don't rule out Bobby Witt just because of the counting stats.
No.
You think so? I don't know, man.
I wouldn't put it past people to just look at like the home runs and runs batted in and be like, oh yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Also, Jonah Heim is having an incredible season in the American League right now as a catcher. So there's that.
That's true. I don't think Bobby could get past Bo Bichette if we had to pick him today. Bo Bichette's having quite a year. 11 home runs, 38 RBI.
And Correa's still got name recognition.
That's true. So
I filled out my All-Star ballot as kind of a joke, and I was kind of picking the worst player I could find on there.
This was
not intentional, but my American League lineup is almost entirely American League Central players. I didn't pick any Royals, and it's still almost all AL Central.
Yeah, wow. That sounds about right.
Shout out to Jose Abreu.
Didn't he like just get his first home run?
Yeah, he just did a few days ago, yeah.
Oh yeah, because he was freaking sprinting around the bases, like that man was just like, I'm ready to get back to the dugout. I'm done with this crap. I think that has been a very disappointing free agent signing. Sorry, I'm going off the rails here. Like,
no, I mean it has been like I thought the fit was perfect at the time, but I also thought there was reason to think that his performance might be declining given his age and some of the batted ball metrics. But I didn't think he was going to be this bad.
No doubt. See, I'm looking at other. I really don't see Vinny getting a whole lot of votes at first base in the AL. There's five other guys metrically that are above him. You got like,
I think if Salvi wasn't here, he might get in just because you got to have a Royal, and he's the best Royal. He would be the best Royal without Salvi, but Salvi's got the name recognition, and you know, he's actually got some pretty good stats as a catcher. And again, I don't know that I can't say for sure that he'll go in as a starter again like he has, but I guarantee he'll be there.
That's true. Greg, so I'm looking through this ballot real fast, and you talked about Adley Rutschman, which if you sort the ballot by OPS, Adley is above Salvador Perez, but like they're neck and neck. It's like I think it's 6 points. It's like 0.006 separating them right now.
Hey, don't rule out what MLB is doing to promote Adley Rutschman like on social media and such right now. Like he's becoming a kind of face of the game fairly quickly.
But do you think that because I'm scrolling through this and I'm not seeing a whole lot of other options for the Baltimore Orioles to have a representative in the All-Star game, do you think that would give the edge to Adley in the All-Star race?
Not necessarily, because the Orioles have a few arms that I think are almost shoo-ins. Like Yennier Cano is absolutely going to be an All-Star. Mm. Felix Bautista has a chance to. In terms of like their position players, yeah, I mean, there's not really another obvious candidate there. But I don't know. I just think by the time we get to like July, it's going to be pretty clear, like Adley over Salvador Perez, most likely.
That's true. Jeremy, do you think that we talked about Vinny, we talked about Bobby, we talked about Salvador Perez. Do you think like there's really any other Royals position players that are going to garner some sort of votes outside of the fan votes?
No, you know, Massey just had that awful start. So even though he's been hot lately, it's not enough. There's nobody that stands out in the outfield that looks good. And Michael Garcia has not been on the team long enough, even if he picked up his play to really have a chance. So yeah, I think those are the only guys who are even really in the conversation.
And there's some really good competition at third base. You got Josh Jung, who's absolutely having a great year. Jose Ramirez is always going to be close to the top. Greg, what were you going to say? I cut you off, man.
Now, Jeremy, I have something to tell you here that might make you hate the Jordan Lyles signing even more.
Oh boy.
Kyle Gibson signed with the Orioles this offseason, 1 year, $10 million, and he has a 3.89 ERA in 71 and two-thirds innings this year.
How many innings does Lyles have again?
I don't know, but probably a similar amount.
More than that?
Lyles has 61 2/3 innings and only one fewer start.
No. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Listen, we could beat this Jordan Lyles horse a little bit more, because guys, it is the gift that keeps on giving, isn't
it? And just to remind everyone, this is not Jordan Lyles' fault. He's going out there doing the best he can every day. And so don't send him any hate mail. Don't send him any death threats, certainly. Please. No. Like, leave the guy alone. You know, this is criticism of the signing, not of the person.
I don't think it was possible to give up this many homers pitching your home games at Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's given up more home runs in Kauffman Stadium than he has on the road.
It was absolutely crazy to think about.
Now I kind of wish I had gone to last Friday's game that was just this legendary pitching matchup of Jordan Lyles and Patrick Corbin.
Ooh, yes. Epic. Absolutely
that's
epic.
Incredible. Matchup. Yeah, that's awesome.
Just some fireworks, man. Oh, what was I like? I was looking at his numbers. He has the most losses in the league. I think the most earned runs.
He has to have the most homers allowed.
Yeah, he does. He does have the most homers allowed. So,
but is he at least on pace to get 20 losses?
Yes, as of right now. He has like 11 starts. He has 11 starts and 9 losses. So
sweet. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Please, no. That would...
Let's just drive home the point of how amazing this signing was. 25 losses. Let's go.
Is he going to be the only Royal to throw a complete game this year?
Probably. Oh gosh, I would bet money on it right now. Like, if you offered me good terms, I would literally bet money on it, and I don't bet money.
I don't know what they were thinking with the signing. Honestly, like I could have understood like a 1-year flyer just to see what he was after an okay 2022 season, but multiple years, all this money, he was the big free agent signing of the offseason, and you're telling me he is winless through 11 starts? He has 9 losses. That's absolutely crazy to me, Jeremy. I don't know what to think about it.
Yeah, a 1-year deal wouldn't have been a problem. I wouldn't even be talking about him if it was a 1-year deal. I'd just be like, well, you tried something, it didn't work.
Yeah,
we move on. But the 2-year deal, that's the part that just boggles my mind. And the fact that they didn't spend any other money anywhere else is just very frustrating, because it just feels like they could have and they should have spent at least a little bit of money. And everyone's like, oh, don't spend money, you're going to lose anyway. And you spend more money, you're not going to be that much better. I'm like, but you might be more interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're supposed to be entertaining me right now. Like, that's let's be real, that's the goal. The goal is, well, the goal for them is to make money. But the goal is we say the goal is to win a championship, but really we're here to be entertained. And we're entertained by championships. So sure, if you're going to win a championship, you're on your way. But at least if you're not going to win a championship, because only 29 teams are not going to win a championship this year, you got to still be entertaining. And the Royals are not. And it's because they spent all their money on somebody like Jordan Lyles and didn't spend any money on anybody interesting.
Man, if 17 mil was all of their money, then John Sherman's the poorest owner in all of baseball, but I don't think that's actually the case. I will admit, though, you know, my incorrect take on last offseason is I advocated for signing Carlos Rodon, and he has yet to throw a pitch for the Yankees. And so that's if true. We had signed Carlos Rodon, that one might not look me so hot either.
I think I was on that train too. But
well, it's just like sign the best pitcher, and he was the best pitcher. Like,
if you lose, you lose. Like when the Mets went out and got Verlander and Scherzer, I'm sure they were hoping they would both throw more pitches than they've thrown so far this year.
Yeah.
But and you're trying, you're making an effort. There's a thought process that goes, we want to win baseball games. That's just not here when you sign in Jordan Lyles. The Jordan Lyles signing doesn't say we want to win baseball games. Jordan Lyles signing says we want to play baseball games.
I think it's wishful thinking on our part to just like, just one day, one of these years, I want us to go into the offseason, not have to immediately cross out the top 30 free agents, be like, none of those are in our price range. Just once, I'd like to be able to do that.
That's true. Because there's some big free agent classes coming up after this season. And
this one's the upcoming one is terrible.
Really? I thought there was
There's some good arms in the upcoming one, but in terms of bats, like after Ohtani, like Matt Chapman is probably the next best. So not a lot of position players available this offseason.
Could you Could you imagine if the Royals signed Ohtani?
No.
Could you imagine?
No.
It would melt. It would melt Kansas City.
I would I don't know what I would do something insane if they wouldn't win any more games. And it would be awful, an awful situation for him, but I would be so excited.
If that were the case, I would just be like, okay, we're no longer in reality. So now I can just do whatever I want. So I would just I would quit my job and just fly on a plane to Costa Rica and just go live on a beach for the rest of my life. I'd do that.
Nice. I think if the Royals signed Ohtani, I would swear to only write positive Royals articles for a year.
Hey, I think that's a good investment in my mind. John Sherman, go ahead and make it happen. You got Jeremy Greco on your side forever and ever as long as you get Ohtani.
That's a tall order. Could you go a whole year?
If the team just lost seven games, got shut out seven times, but dang it, they've got Ohtani.
And he's doing great. Don't say a bad thing.
Ohtani throws eight scoreless innings and the bullpen allows five runs to lose the game.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty much.
That would be a Royals move.
One of my favorite tweets that shows up every once in a while, gets rerun through Twitter, is the tweet that goes, I feel like every Angels game is Mike Trout hit three home runs and Shohei Ohtani did something that's never been done before, and the Angels lost 9-5.
That's the old Tungsten Arm O'Doyle tweet. It's like Shohei Ohtani did something that hasn't been done since Tungsten Arm O'Doyle in 1920. Yeah, that one makes the rounds every so often.
I love that it does.
Because it applies every so often.
It does.
Because you have like two of the top five players in baseball, like two generational talents. And what do the Angels have to show for it? Nada.
No, I have friends that are like don't really follow baseball, but are aware of Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout and such, mainly from the WBC. And they're like, man, the Angels are the two of the best players in baseball. I bet they're super good. I'm like, no, they kind of suck. Like they never go to the playoffs.
I will say this though, two of their 2022 draftees are like already up with the major league squad.
My guy, Zach Neto and Ben Joyce. Hell yeah.
Ben Joyce is absolutely dealing.
He was a volunteer fireman pitching at Tennessee last year, lighting up the radar gun and just mowing kids down. It was brutal to watch. Like imagine you're a freshman in college and you just got out of like biology 101 and now you got to go face 102 in the box. Like, yeah, see you there.
That was a good one. I love that.
That was great.
But Jeremy, like, I couldn't imagine, you know, like, let's say Frank Mazzucato and Carter Jensen coming up to the Kansas City Royals right now. And I was looking at some of the batter views on Ben Joyce's pitches. It is absolutely disgusting. I think he only had one pitch slower than 100 miles per hour in his debut.
Now, granted, the difference between like Mazzucato and Jensen and Ben Joyce is that Ben Joyce was a college draftee. So was Zach Neto, hence why they're up already. And just the Angels rush their prospects, I guess.
That they do. I'm trying to think. Has that always been a thing for the Angels? I don't keep close tabs on their prospects.
I don't really know. I just had with those guys since I watched them a lot last year. Like Zach Neto played like 40 minor league games before getting called up.
That is just crazy to me. It really is. Like I couldn't. And I don't think his stats were like that otherworldly either. Like they were good for the level he was at, but they're just calling folks up and hey, you know what? We drafted you. You're already polished, and let's go ahead and put you to work and see what happens.
Hey, right. Like his minor league numbers were pretty good, but they weren't like blowing you away or anything. And he played in the Big South. He played for Campbell. It's not exactly a big baseball conference.
That's true. I mean, there's only, I'm trying to think, the only like standout that I could see the Royals calling up that was a former college guy that played in the SEC is Javier Vaz right now, who's doing really, really good stuff. That man is Moneyball. He just gets on base. That's all he does.
I mean, Tyler Gentry, I think, was an SEC guy.
Oh, that's true. He was Alabama, wasn't he?
Now, that was... what's his name? Peyton something. I can't remember. He was Alabama. Actually, I think Tyler Gentry was also a Bama guy.
Let's see. Caden Wilson was Arkansas.
Caden Wallace.
Caden, gosh dang
Caden Wallace, don't disrespect my guy like that. He played in the College World Series last year.
Mr. Walking Defensive Highlight.
Yeah, Gentry was a Bama guy also. No kidding.
Okay. So Caden Wallace was Arkansas. Gavin Cross was Virginia Tech. I mean, they even, like, Old Dominion's got a pretty okay baseball program, but Vinny took 3 years to get up through the system. Granted, he was an 11th round pick, but I mean, like, these polished guys aren't exactly rocketing through the Royals minor leagues, in my opinion.
Vinny was a weird case because he put up better numbers in the minors than he did in college. Like, he went up in competition and switched over to wood bats and started hitting better. Like, I don't get that.
I don't know what it was. I saw him play in person, and like, he was good, but like, I never thought he would be an everyday starter for a major league team in 3 years. All right, listen, guys, we are way off the rails right now. Let's go ahead and pull it back. Yes, we did. That we did.
You got so far off the rails, I didn't know what to say.
I know, right, Jeremy? You were actually quiet for a little while. That was a little eerie, and that's when I knew I was doing something wrong.
Greg going an entire podcast without talking about college baseball challenge.
Impossible. Impossible. Jeremy, I do want to get your opinion on this. So I was writing up an article about three players who need to do better for the Royals in June.
Sure.
And to stir the pot, I put it in Vinny Pasquantino.
Oh boy.
Yes. Just to stir the pot. He had, when I started writing the article, his OPS was like below 700. And then I went to update the stats for today, and it was 754 in May. I was like, well, okay, now I feel a little bad, but I still kept him in there because of his glove. Okay, that's why. So I want to ask you, do you have any concerns about Vinny Pasquantino's glove long term at first base right now? Because he does have, I think it's -3 outs above average at first base. It's not looking good.
I continue to be the guy who says, if you can hit, I don't care what you do with your glove.
That's fair.
Get out there, you know, you drive in three runs, you're probably not going to cost the team three runs with your glove in a single game. It's probably not going to happen. So, yeah, just hit your home runs, get on base, do your thing. I don't really care what you're doing with your glove. The only person who ever has made me question that is Edward Olivares. I watched Jorge Soler out right field, and I was like, if you're hitting, fine. If you're not, we got to talk. But Edward Olivares makes me question if Vinny Pasquantino does not. He's going to be fine. It is what it is. He's never going to be the best first baseman. But I tell you what, for all everybody talking about Eric Hosmer being this amazing first baseman and all the gold gloves, the metrics didn't like him either.
That's true.
So you can have plenty of success without having a great glove. Just get out there and get your hits.
The scoops.
Oh, the scoop!
The scoops!
It's all about the scoops. Think, that's the whole point. Now, I'm also not too concerned about... Okay, I do care about defense, but at first base, it's not exactly a huge priority for me, as long as you can go out and hit. But, I mean, you're right to have him in the article, because he was basically a league average hitter during the month of May. And if you're providing no defensive value, which Vinny is, then you got to hit. And you got to hit more than league average.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. Like, he does need to produce more offensively than it was last month.
Okay, so like I said, I put that in there to stir the pot a little bit, but I had a little nugget in there that will really get people going. I pointed out the fact that Hunter Dozier was better at the plate in May than Vinny Pasquantino. No.
What is wrong with you?
Why? Some people just want to see the world burn, and you want to see the world go up in a nuclear ball of fire.
Am I wrong, though? Am I wrong?
I don't even want to look that up. I'm just going to say that you are.
I mean, I can only assume that you have imagined some stats.
No, honestly. So Hunter only played in 8 games in May. And
how many games did Vinny play?
I think, wow, how much was it?
20-something?
More than 8.
Yeah, like way more. Way more than 8.
Talk to me when they play the same number of games.
No. I won't do that. We've already had that experiment, Jeremy. Didn't go very well. Like I said, I just did that to stir the pot a little bit. Oh, man. All right. Listen, guys, Greg, I'm sorry. You've already had your allocated time for college baseball. So no more for you. Yes. But what we can get more of is we can get some more Royals reviews. And Jeremy, you said you wanted to kick us off this week. So the floor is yours, sir.
All right. So what I'm going to give you is a brand new sitcom that's on Freevee. It's on Amazon Prime for free. I think there's other ways you can watch Freevee stuff. That's where I watch it, is on Prime Video. But again, it is out there for free. Excuse me. And it is called Primo. And it is a new sitcom by Mike Schur, who's the guy who did The Office, Parks and Rec, The Good Place, like tons of great shows. And also by Shea Serrano, who is a Twitter kind of personality, who's just a super positive dude. He mostly tweets about basketball and rapping, or at least those are what his books are about. And I don't do either of those things. I don't follow either of those things, but he's just such a like force for positivity on Twitter that I follow him. And, so I'm really excited to see him getting his good break. I've only watched the first two episodes so far, but it is one of those, it's a very wholesome kind of comedy where there's no bad faith actors and the writing is kind of like, it's where it should be, where like the conflict comes from everybody doing the best they can, as opposed to like people just like being idiots or whatever. I hate that kind of stuff. So it's about this kid who is a junior in high school. And he lives with his mom and his five uncles, and he's just trying to navigate his life. And his uncles, you know, are all trying to help him, and they're doing crazy stuff. And his mom's trying to help him, and she's doing crazy stuff. And crazy stuff happens. It's a sitcom. Crazy stuff has to happen. But it's a lot of fun. It's very heartwarming, I guess, is a phrase you could use. Maybe I wouldn't, because that kind of has a different tone about it. But it's wholesome. There's no negativity. It's just like, let's go out and everybody do their best. And at the end of the day, we'll figure it out.
Hey, it sounds like a good watch to me. Greg, what do you got for a review this week, man?
Shea Serrano used to write for Grantland back in the day. Good call out there, Jeremy. I would like to review Kelly's Westport Inn, located here in Kansas City, Missouri. It is my favorite bar and place to go out and drink in Westport. It is the oldest building in Kansas City, and so it's a pretty neat fact. They have cheap beers. They can make White Russians, which a lot of bars that I go to can't make them. And they have a nice outdoor area upstairs. So Kelly's Westport Inn. It's a good time.
Okay. All right. Hey, Greg, since you did that so short, so for all of our listeners out there, Greg recently moved, and I heard you had a bad experience, Greg. Is that true?
here's the second part of my review. I would also like to do Rolls Review reviews of moving, which really sucks because I was moving just pretty close to where I live, a few blocks north, and so I was just going to move everything in my own vehicle. I drive a Ford Edge SUV. I put my desk in there. And it was kind of poking out just a little bit, and I thought it was okay and closed the trunk, and it wasn't okay. And the corner of my desk shattered my windshield, and so I had no back windscreen. I moved on Sunday, which perfect timing because it was raining all day on Tuesday yesterday and raining for most of today morning, and I couldn't get my windshield fixed until this afternoon. So really cool that I had no back windshield while it was storming for the past few days.
Greg, that's not the words I would use to describe that. It's really cool. All right. So good on you for that outlook, at least.
I had a broken TV that I didn't want to have to go recycle, so I left it in the back, like in plain sight, hoping it would get stolen, but unfortunately it didn't. So I still have to figure out how to recycle it.
Wow, you live in a really wholesome area, Greg. good on your neighborhood.
Yeah, good on them for not just, you know, walking past and seeing my broken out windshield and thinking, oh, I'll have that and just go on and take it. But I wish somebody had.
That'd be really nice. That'd be really nice. For my review this week, I'm actually going to review a book. I haven't been reading nearly as much as I wanted to this year.
Readings for nerds.
Okay, to be fair, I listen to books, all right? I listen to them.
That's
I
can't even read. Ask me how I know.
Jeremy, how do you know?
I also listen to books.
Oh, okay, gotcha. See, that makes sense. But hey, it's about baseball advanced metrics, so how could it get any more nerdier? The book is called The Only Rule Is It Has to Work. And it's a true story about two guys from Baseball Prospectus who somehow get investors behind them to help them run an independent league baseball team called the Sonoma Stompers. And like this happened in the middle of the 2010s. The book came out in 2017. It's a very interesting listen because both the guys wrote it. So it's from their perspective and they're just talking about like all these, you know, just doing everything on a dime. I imagine that's how the Royals do it for the most part. Like they have to go begging people like, hey, can we get some advanced metrics here? Some alms for the poor, please.
Got any more of the advanced metrics?
Got any more of that BABIP?
Hey, that was Ben Lindbergh and Sam Miller, right?
Yes, that it was.
Nice. All right. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's a pretty good listen. So I don't know. It seems like something out of like a sitcom that would just be, it would be like The Office. It'd be like that sitcom you're talking about, Jeremy. But I enjoyed the book. It was a good story. And yeah, I'd suggest going and reading it. All right, guys, before we get on out of here, this is the last call for anything. Jeremy, do you have anything for us?
No.
No? Okay. Well, you are silent for once. I'm concerned about you. I am worried. Blink twice if you're in Milwaukee. He's not blinking, folks.
That's a very forceful non-blink.
Yes, that it was. Now I'm worried. Greg, do you have anything for us before we get out of here?
Yeah, check out my baseball podcast over at Bat Flips and Infield Shifts. If you want to hear me talk a lot about college baseball and also about Major League Baseball, we'll be doing our Memorial Day MLB update this week. And also over on Royals Review, I will have a piece coming up about Enrique Bradfield Jr., who the Royals could look to target in the draft, probably later this week.
I did do like a mock draft roundup, and I only saw Enrique Bradfield once going to the Royals at 8, so I thought that was a pretty cool fit. A lot of folks want the Royals to get one of these shortstops, Jacob Wilson or Jacob Gonzalez. I don't like it. There's only one Jacob who should be associated with the Kansas City Royals. That's me. I'm the only Jacob.
Wow.
No more
Jacob for a minute.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Are you really associated with the Royals? Like,
no, I'm not.
I'm sorry, I'm being mean.
Well, too bad. I already rolled up the other Jacobs. So,
gosh dang it, Greg. It's fine. We'll see if it actually happens. Everyone out there still listening, you can go follow the podcast on Twitter at Royal Rundown Pod. Also, please go follow Royals Review on Twitter at Royals Review. But to everyone out there listening, thank you so much for your support. And until next time, go Royals!